Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to corner scenes, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for the table. The many times we give and rise that are quite unsingable. We'll rock so mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye! Hear ye! King Shazir's the Terrible! All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
Men are dead after encounters with police in Minnesota and Louisiana, and social media has sent both of their stories viral. Now, even President Obama weighing in. Eyewitness News reporter Rob Nelson in the newsroom with the latest details. Rob.
Well, Dave, for the second time just this week alone, it is another day of anger and grief after the latest shooting death of a black male at the hands of police. The killings all the more shocking and vivid thanks to social media. After Tuesday's killing in Baton Rouge, local and federal officials are now contending with the case of a 32-year-old Minnesota man also gunned down by police after a seemingly routine traffic stop.
Justice will be served in Minnesota.
Even with Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton promising a full investigation today, there was no containing the raw anger of residents weary of this kind of bloodshed. Philando Castile's deadly encounter with police last night was captured on this live Facebook video filmed by his girlfriend, Lavish Reynolds, a passenger in his car when the pair was reportedly stopped for a busted taillight in the St. Paul suburb of Falcon Heights.
You told him to get his ID, sir, and his driver's license.
Reynolds says Castile told police he was carrying a licensed firearm, and when he was reaching for his ID, as requested, he was shot multiple times by a police officer. The video shows Castile bleeding badly in the driver's seat, with Reynolds' four-year-old little daughter watching on from the back of the car. Castile later died at the hospital.
I wanted to put it on Facebook and go viral so that the people could see. I wanted the people to determine who was right and who was wrong.
Castile's mother said today she is outraged by what happened and that she had always told her son to comply with police.
He's just black in the wrong place.
The Castile case comes less than 48 hours after cell phone video captured the shooting death of another black man, Alton Sterling, in Baton Rouge, after he was pinned down by police outside a convenience store where he was selling CDs at the time. Sterling did have a gun, and police, responding to a call about Sterling, say they feared for their lives, and that's why they opened fire at close range. Both shootings have prompted passionate but largely peaceful protests. This afternoon, President Obama posted a statement on Facebook saying, quote, "What's clear is that these fatal shootings are not isolated incidents. They are symptomatic of the broader challenges within our criminal justice system, the racial disparities that appear across the system year after year, and the resulting lack of trust that exists between law enforcement and too many of the communities they serve." And today we also learned Castile worked for a local public school system as a nutrition services supervisor. The system released a statement today describing him as cheerful and someone quick to greet coworkers with a smile or a hug. Meantime, police have not released the name of the officer who pulled the trigger. And today, FBI Director James Comey says he does expect the feds to step into this case, as they already have done in Baton Rouge.
North St. Louis Church is the target of vandals. It appears they started a fire inside the church and spray painted a racist message on the outside. Fox 2's Jeff Bernthal is live with a look at the damage at the church. Jeff.
So puzzling for the congregation, the pastor here. They spray painted a message up on a door there. Contains some offensive words. And then here you've got somebody breaking through this window, starting a fire on the inside. It's boarded up now, but an insurance adjuster puts the damage at about $200,000. St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church has a lot to take in. There's all this damage and then a bizarre message spray painted on the door. It refers to children of Israel and uses a derogatory term for African Americans.
The message say God chose us, but we thought that we all were God's chosen children, you know, but this just shows you the level of hate in our city, not only in our city, but it's happening even across our country.
It's not very clear, but there is some surveillance video. If you look in the upper left-hand corner of the screen, the pastor believes those two persons are responsible. We've reported on other recent church vandalism in North St. Louis. Eastern Baptist Church on St. Louis Avenue was hit at the end of May. And then a couple days later, bricks and concrete thrown through
the
Memorial Baptist Church on
glass from the up.
I guess the pastors really need to come together, brainstorm, and see how can we protect our congregations against this hatred going on in our city.
The most recent damage hit the pastor of this church especially hard because he says he built this church with his own hands, including an expansion.
Well, of course, it's disheartening and it's hurtful, but as a congregation, we stand on faith. So this to us is just something that was evil that God's going to turn into good.
The pastor says he needs time to think about where the congregation will worship and wants to find a way to chase hate out of the hearts of those responsible.
I pray that you repent, and I pray that you understand what you did is detrimental to a lot of people. You've hurt a lot of people, but you have not broke a lot of people.
New at noon, a big brawl at a Walmart reportedly over a dress. 30 people got into the scuffle at a store in western New York. Now, this broke out at around 7 p.m. on Sunday. The word is two 17-year-olds were making fun of a dress worn by a 24-year-old woman, and that
triggered a huge brawl. Some people even went into the sporting goods section of the store and got baseball bats to use in this fight. Now, four people are under arrest and authorities are reviewing surveillance video.
Injured passengers lay on the platform at a train station in Taiwan's capital, Taipei. Officials say at least 21 people were injured when an explosion ripped through the carriage of a commuter train Thursday night. When police inspected the train, they found a suspicious device, according to the Director General of the National Police Agency, Chen Kuo-en.
What I saw was on one of the seats, an explosive device. An elongated firecracker. What I saw was about this long.
According to the Straits Times newspaper, the explosion occurred at the Songshan railway station. They say the train was headed from Taipei to a town in northern Taiwan about 3 hours away. They quote police as saying that most of the injuries caused by the explosion were minor and that authorities do not believe it was a terrorist attack.
A very rough early morning in Taiwan as Super Typhoon Nepertax slams into the islands. These pictures were live, where they were live streamed just a short time ago from Taitung County along Taiwan's southeastern coast.
Yeah, this is James Reynolds, who's a storm chaser that we spoke with last hour, in fact, and he's telling us that we're seeing wind gusts of almost 300 kilometers an hour, and this is a storm that could dump a meter of rain on the eastern coast of the island. Also some dramatic video I want to show you here, Man vs. Nature.
Oh, goodness.
Have a look at that. You can see who's winning in Man vs. Nature there.
Yeah, it appears a security guard in Taitung was trying to secure these doors when that gust blew open those doors and took over. Wow, that is frightening.
There's been a massive landslide in Alaska near Glacier Park. Seismic monitors indicate it happened late last month. Aerial photos show a snow-capped mountain with an enormous chunk missing. It's estimated 150 million tons of rock fell. The rushing debris spilled onto a glacier and extends more than 6 miles. Researchers at Columbia say the force was equivalent to that of 60 million SUVs falling down the mountain. No one witnessed the avalanche, but it was spotted by a local pilot, Paul Swanstrom, who captured this amazing video.
Such pictures have become commonplace in Europe as NATO completed the region's largest war game since the Second World War. All of this in response to concerns about alleged Russian aggression.
The head of NATO is warning that the organization is facing a critical moment. The group must cement its defenses against a bolder Russia, according to NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg.
This is a defining moment for our security. The world is a more dangerous place than just a few years ago.
Heads of state from NATO's member countries will gather in Warsaw, Poland Friday for a two-day summit. The meeting will be dominated by discussion over NATO's response to Russia and the Ukrainian conflict. Western nations blame Moscow for the unrest, which has claimed more than 9,000 lives. Russia says NATO's beefed-up defenses are what is increasing the risk of a conflict. Meanwhile, Warsaw authorities are stepping up their security. Officials say more than 6,000 police and military personnel will be on duty around the city during the meeting.
There have been reports of drones flying over the Savannah River site. Department of Energy officials have been busy trying to investigate what's going on. They say they've spotted the objects over SRS in the past month. Federal law prohibits drone pilots from flying above nuclear facilities, military sites, and other restricted airspace. News Channel 6's Mike Miller, live in our newsroom now. Mike, SRS officials confirm a drone was also spotted over the nuclear reservation just yesterday.
Yeah, Brad, SRS is taking those sightings very seriously and is working with federal, state, and local authorities to find out who is responsible. Now, while some people are concerned because of terrorism, others just think it's a drone hobbyist who doesn't realize where they're flying.
As drones are becoming more popular, federal lawmakers are having to come up with new rules for them. Just this year, the Federal Aviation Administration created a new category for unmanned aircraft. Clay Hawley hasn't piloted one, but he's seen them flying around Jackson, South Carolina.
Just a few around town here that some neighbors have played with, but nothing high-tech. It's the low-cost ones and people just having fun, I think, getting an overhead view of their neighborhood.
And just down the road, the aircrafts have recently been spotted over the Savannah River site, which is a big no-no for pilots. Now, we spoke with several SRS employees who did not want to speak with us on camera, but they tell us that there have been at least 6 drone sightings in the past week. And they say they know that the drones were spotted because there have been PA announcements. Because SRS has nuclear materials, employees say they're concerned. They say they're being asked to call security if they see a drone. Once reported, helicopters have been taking off trying to find the unmanned air vehicles. With so much terrorism these days, people just want to know who's flying them.
A temporary truce agreed upon by warring sides in Syria to mark the Eid al-Fitr holiday is violated by foreign-backed terrorists less than 24 hours after coming into effect. Reports say terrorists shelled the Saif al-Dawla neighborhood of Aleppo, killing 3 people. This after a 3-day regime of calm was declared in Syria as Muslims marked the end of the fasting month of Ramadan. There have been renewed diplomatic efforts by both Russia and the U.S. to establish a ceasefire in Syria. However, terrorists in Syria have repeatedly violated ceasefires, taking advantage of lulls in violence to regroup.
Islamic extremists launched a deadly attack during a large Muslim prayer gathering in Bangladesh today. The terrorists hurled homemade bombs and engaged in a gun battle with police. At least one of the bombs exploded during the prayer, which was attended by hundreds of thousands. 4 people died during the attack and dozens others were injured. The violence comes just days after the deadly hostage incident at an upscale restaurant there that left 28 people dead.
Germany has an unbelievably old-fashioned and backward law on sexual offenses.
In Germany, victims had to prove they physically resisted in order to take their perpetrator to court. As a result, Germany's justice ministry says only 8% of rape trials in the country end with the attacker being convicted. Then, more than 80 sexual assaults and attacks were reported from this year's New Year's Eve celebration, prompting Germany to propose new legislation. The new law was unanimously passed by Germany's parliament on Thursday. Now, saying no is a defense against rape in Germany. Victims no longer have to prove they physically resisted. The law also makes it easier to deport foreigners who commit sexual assault.
A Greenwood girl is back home tonight after being hit by a car Saturday.
Brooke, Dave, imagine this. This girl was hit by a Jeep. The impact was so great that it tossed her in the air. She starts having a seizure immediately, but she and her mom say it's thanks to a higher power that she was able to escape with no life-threatening injuries.
From getting around in a wheelchair to gaining the strength to walk with crutches, it's only been a week. But the road to recovery is a tough one for 14-year-old Cheyenna Cummings.
I remember the initial hit, but as soon as I got hit, I was unconscious.
Her mom, Susie, is caring for her, cleaning wounds and changing bandages. Cheyenna has several fractured bones and a torn ACL, as well as scrapes and deep cuts. But it isn't the pain that brings her to tears.
I thank him so much for what he did.
She's referring to Tyler Burton, a passerby who yelled for people to call 911. Cheyenna was having a seizure. Burton began praying over her, and the seizing stopped.
He saved my life. I don't know where I would be without if he didn't pray for me.
So I'm just very thankful that he was there.
Moving forward, the Cummings are focused on much more than just physical healing.
And don't take life for granted, because you never know when the next day is going to be there or not.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and 4/5 of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. The... So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up, and the stock market.
market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html. Whew, that's long to say. Anyway, that's where you can actually have an opportunity to not just talk to the Shaziz Radio crew, but the Awake Radio as well. And there's plenty of links over there for other networks. If you like don't like what you're hearing on ours at the moment, you can go listen to one of the other ones. There's plenty of them out there. Anyway, start off by saying sometimes I can be a really obnoxious loudmouth that I even get on my own nerves. opinionated. I say a lot of things, and I just see the world a whole lot different than the average Joe. And so with that said, I was getting ready to talk about a video that I just played the podcast to at the beginning of the show. But before I get into that podcast, Stephen Gibbons posted a link down in there, and ironically enough, it has to do with part of what I'm trying to get at. He posted a link down there that talks about science and technology. Scientists discover that humans have a magnetic sixth sense to detect something we can't see. It's pretty amazing, you know. But get over there and take a look at that link that Stephen Gibbons posted in there, because it's really kind of relevant to what's going on out there in the world, you know. Being able to detect something that you can't see, you can feel it. You can feel something in here going on. Which brings me to that that video I posted in there. Heck, I can't even remember what the name of it. It's End Times something or another. But as you listen to this video and you hear all the craziness that's going on out there in the world, I pay attention to everything that goes on out there. It doesn't matter what news, media source, even alternative media, because you always want to get both sides of every story to find out what the real truth is, because you know that there's people out there that are more than willing to propagandize you in order to get you to see it their way, to follow their agenda, you know, their point of view and such. But me being the forever skeptic, and I guess some people could say that I'm chronically paranoid about the world in general. And, you know, it's like Murphy's Law. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. And 9 times out of 10, it does go wrong. Some incidents, it's 10 times out of 10.
But you're forgetting that it goes wrong at the worst possible time that it could go wrong.
Oh, exactly. It never can happen like whenever you got a little space cushion to kind of protect you or nothing. It's always going to be the worst possible time.
And Buddy said he beat him. You got to talk to him, man. Huh. He said somebody stole something from him after he didn't need it anymore.
Well, then I guess he did kind of beat Murphy's Law a bit, but he still got ripped off.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, when I watching this video, my sixth sense there, my built-in defense mechanism is sending up red flags and warning signs that the people of this world are being set up, and in a major way. Right now it's kind of focused over there on the United States and the elections that's coming up in the United States, and there's a lot of racial tension and tension between the police and civilians and just government in general. But I got to step back and I got to be kind of like the devil's advocate for both sides of the story, so to speak, because I was a police officer at one time. And I know the system isn't what it should be. I know that there's things going on in the system that are really messed up. But at the same sense, I know that the majority, 99.9% of all the people who are wearing them uniforms aren't racist murderers. I know that. And so, with that said, I know there's even people of color from all different races and backgrounds that know that as well. And they see the same thing I see, that the American people are being set up. We're being set up for a race war, a possible second world war, or a third world war, possibly even a second civil war. We're being set up for whatever reason. You know, the financial goons that run this world out there, they know their time is limited because of all the access to information that we have available to us, the average Joe has. And you've got to control that, that message out there. You got to control the news. You got to control what people are learning. The propaganda has to be in your favor if you want to stay in power after all the dirty deeds that you've pretty much done throughout your entire
history of supposedly representing the people. And it's blatantly obvious that their track record really stinks. They're not doing a very good job of representing, and so, you know, we got elections that come around, and we got people that are supposedly the ones that are put up there by us to be represented, but what we find is every single time it's the Hillary and Trump syndrome, you know. Who do you vote for? The lesser of two evils, whatever. But it's always Republican or Democrat, you know. Any third party doesn't get a say in the election, and everybody says, well, I can't vote for this third party because if I do, the Democrats will win, or vice versa, the Republicans win. I can't vote my conscience and vote for, heck, I voted for myself a couple of years during election time just because I didn't like either candidate. They both talked a lot of same talking points that you keep hearing over and over about how, you know, they're going to make America strong again, and they're going to be fair to everybody, and they're going to fix all this mess, financial and everything.
Make America great.
Yeah. Congressman Bongwater, man, he comes out and he tells you that he's going to screw you on taxes. At least he's honest about it, you know. He said he wants to fatten up his wallet with your tax money, you know. And so I would probably vote for Congressman Bongwater because at least I know I'm getting screwed, you know, right out of the gate. Now, when somebody you think you can trust as a representative, you're going to vote for this guy because he sounds and says all the things that you want to hear. And then he gets in the office and does totally contrary to what he said, or he or she said. Basically, what I see going on is there's a lot of big money going out there to a lot of people to go out there and protest and create a ruckus that will eventually lead to one massive fight, whether it be a racial war or a civil war. You know, when I hear, you know, people of color saying things like, well, white people, I hate white people, or vice versa, you know. I got an airport in the background there. Must be muddy. Anyway, when I hear this kind of stuff, it makes me sick and in my stomach, because this lady doesn't even know me. She doesn't know my children. She doesn't know my family. She don't know our hearts. Or, you know, whoever's saying it. No, they don't know the individuals out there. Can somebody mute their mic, please?
I will.
Thank you. So, they don't know the person that they're actually hating on, you know? Not everybody was around during the time when all these atrocities were going on in history. Not everybody was involved in slavery. Not everybody was involved in, you know, genocide and all that kind of stuff. When I was born, my mom raised me with a good heart, you know, and I wouldn't go out and treat people like that, but it seems that just because I look a certain way or whatever, that I'm automatically judged for something that I had absolutely nothing to do with. And so, here we are in a day when, you know, we're supposed to be advanced as far as society. You know, we supposedly voted in our first black president, our first African American president. We supposedly did that, and it doesn't matter whether that even happened or not, because in that same process of voting men, people say that they just voted them because of this color, which in some cases may have been the fact. But regardless, at least we've made that step forward as far as a nation out here, that at one point in time, this wouldn't have been something that would have happened. But you take away all of that propaganda and all the painting with the wide brush kind of stuff, and you get down to the average Joe, and you actually ask the average Joe what they think. The average Joe is afraid to talk about certain subjects. Certain subjects are taboo because, you know, they have to justify, hey, you know, I got several black friends and all this, you know. I'm not a racist. And they have, it's a shame that they even have to say that, because they've been told about this, that every white man's a racist, every black man's a racist, and so on down the line. And this is just something that, it's a tool. It's a divide and conquer tool that's been used for a long time to keep the pot stirred up, because if there's a need for something to be fixed, then there's a need for a politician to have a job. So that's what's going on out here. But now it's getting to the scary point, to where it's no longer just propaganda. It's we're being told that police officers are being shot, you know. It's snipers up on the roof shooting police in the back of the head while they're trying to gas up their vehicle. That may very well have been the only good police officer out there that they just killed. And just because they wear that uniform and suddenly somebody thinks that all cops need to die, would be the equivalence of, just because somebody's color of their skin might be darker than the other, that somebody thinks that they should die. There's no difference. You shoot a cop because of his uniform, then, you know, you don't know that guy. He might be a good-hearted soul that goes out and takes care of the needy, you know, might have a family and children. You know, I don't advocate shooting anybody in this world. These folks that just go out and do this kind of stuff, you know, I've heard it so many times. We need to kill all the whitey. We need to kill all the black people. We need to kill all the cops. F the police, and so on and so forth. It just goes on and on. But what they don't understand is once Pandora's box is open, which in this case it may actually be, if these are real true stories, that the police have been shot, you just signed your own death warrant. You just signed your freedom away to the government that you so-called despise. Because, fact, I know what the police are going to do. I've been there. I've seen it. I know exactly what they're going to do. And you're not going to win. At all. You can get out there and you can go and you can try to murder as many cops as you want. You're not going to win. Because it will get ramped up. Step by step, stage by stage. It'll go from the local police to the state police to the Federal Bureau of Investigations, all the way up the line, until it finally gets so far out of hand that now the military will step in. And when the military steps in, now you're going to be fighting against your brothers and sisters on your own soil. You're going to have what would be classified as the Second Civil War. And when that gets to that point, when things get so bad and we're all down into a second civil war, every nation out there that sees this country as weak is going to take every single opportunity to pull that next piece of power up on their favor. And so if you're worried about a war with Russia, if you were worried about a war with China or whatever, if you were worried about the one world government taking over, you just handed it to them. You did. Because you thought that by killing all the police, you're going to show the power of the people, when in reality, you just handed it over to them on a silver platter. And I'll even go a step further than that. You handed it to them on a solid gold or platinum platter. And if you can't sit there and rationalize this whole thing from start to finish, you're going to find yourself in a very bad situation. You're going to lose your country in a way that you're not going to want to lose your country. You're not going to win this fight. Contrary to popular belief, nobody will win a second civil war here in the United States. It will be the death knell. Just like Rome burned and Nero was having a party or whatever, whoever, Caesar, I don't know who was in, I can't even remember anymore. It doesn't matter. The American dream will go up in a ball of flames. And every day from that point on, your children's survival is going to be at stake. Ain't going to be no walking to school and playing on the playground. Ain't going to be no playing in your backyard. Ain't going to be no peace. Ain't going to be no quiet. You're going to have to worry about gangs running around trying to steal whatever it is that you managed to scrape up for yourself. You look out into these war-torn nations and you imagine that in your backyard, America, because that's exactly what they're setting you up for. And that's no tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy. If it could happen over in their neighborhood and you think it can't happen here, and now you've got people out there supposedly shooting cops, if this is true, if they're really out there doing this in Texas or Orlando, if they're really out there shooting cops, the first domino has already tipped and it's too late. And the only thing that you can do right now is try to do some damage control and hope for the best to bring this peaceful resolution around before it gets completely out of hand. And if somebody has already shot cops, it's already completely out of hand. I know there's standard procedures. And I know that what's going to go on is they're going to come in with the maximum amount of force. They're going to come in with overwhelming force. And the folks that get madder and madder because they are coming in with overwhelming force and saying, look, that justifies what we said. Look what they're doing. That justifies what they said. But you handed it to them by putting a bullet in the back of that police officer. Now, there's a way around all of this kind of stuff with some common sense. But it sure is not going to be by trying to shoot your elected officials. They've already put it in place, all the rules and regulations necessary for just such an emergency. The whole FEMA camp deal out there, you think there aren't prisons set aside for American people in case of economic disaster or whatever, financial collapse, natural or man-made disaster? They're there. And it's already, there is a contingency plan. Continuity of government is in place. There are bunkers for the elite. It's no tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theory. Go back and look at history. There are some declassified bunkers that you can literally go in and tour from back during the war. So, basically, it's up to you, America. And it's up to you, world. It's up to you what we do if we lose our heads. Essentially, we gave them away. That's it. So with that said, I got Thomas on here. I got Muddy on here. Muddy, you still there? Nope, I didn't run him off. He's at that loud noise in the back. That sounds like he's at the airport.
I'll tell you what.
Yep. Anyway, I guess Raymond ain't in here yet.
About now, does it sound a little better?
Yeah.
Yay.
It sounds like you're under a waterfall, but that's all right. So did you guys hear anything I said there?
I'll go ahead and reboot and come back, guys.
What about you, Thomas? You think I'm off base with this deal?
Talked about that Dallas shooting. You're looking at 7/7/2016. If you look at it just the 16, it's 7/7/1+6=7/7/7. Don't know what you want to think about that. Just want to interject into that. Let me go ahead and reboot and I'll be back.
Alright.
Well, you got a whole bunch of people that were shot by police officers on camera that, from that camera's perspective, there was absolutely no reason whatsoever to do that.
Yep.
And then you got these police officers being shot by these people that you don't know what's going on. You don't know why those people shot them the way they did. Plus, they threw that extra deal in there where they used a robot to drag a bomb in there. And there's actually a police officer, if you go out there and listen to all the sound clips, that actually said that's what they did. They had no other alternative, because otherwise they're all going to end up, if they try to go in to basically take these people out, they had no way to do so. They had no opening to do so. There was no way around doing that. So now you've got with all that stuff that's being spit out there, looking like it's coming from different sources, but I'm sure that the people, if there is a conspiracy to basically create a problem so that they can have an excuse to come in with the solution, like they did with that bomb, right? For all we know, the people that were shooting from where they were shooting didn't have anything to, didn't actually get bombed by that bomb. It could have been somebody else who was trapped because they were basically trying to avoid getting shot too, but they were using them as a scapegoat because now they've got an excuse to try to push for stricter gun laws in Dallas, stricter gun laws in Texas, you know, one of the states that actually has more relaxed gun laws, you know.
Yep. Well, the thing about...
There's no telling. This is the thing, though. Those people who were shot and killed, they were used for this, you know, for this agenda, which is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say.
You've got dead people now, just so you can get something done that you want done. I mean, this is a politician's mindset. Every single time something bad happens, regardless of who did it or what they did, that's, you know, the first thing that Obama talks about is gun control. Every single time something like this happens, people like Donald Trump are, oh, we need to, you know, immigration, we need to stop that. Oh, it's those Muslims, it's those Mexicans. It's more racist, you know, drivel and I mean, anytime I hear a politician talking, the first thing I can think of is, man, they need to flush and wipe up afterwards, man.
Yep.
Because it's all crap coming out of their mouths. You know? They're not there. They don't know what's going on. They just instantly jump on the bandwagon to use it for their agenda, which is just filthy because, like I said, we're talking about people dying, people being raped and murdered, and just, you know, this is what I'm seeing, okay? They have their choice of what they want to work on, and they will bend everything they see to be about what they want to work on because that's what they know, that's what they are quote-unquote good at. They don't want to actually go after and solve real problems, so they create other problems, kind of like programmers who aren't worth a darn, that will basically say, oh, we got a problem with these buttons, we got to redesign these buttons, let's redesign these buttons, it's all about these buttons, the buttons, when you have connection problems with the program, or the program has an issue with crashing your computer, or something like that, or your browser or whatever. They won't address that because they don't know anything about it, so instead they'll pretend that problem's not there and just ignore it and go about, you know, rearranging and changing things in ways that basically everybody gets annoyed with them because they don't want that part changed. They want the crash fixed. And you got people like us out here, which I'm sure there's a whole lot more out there too, that are sick and tired of, like you said, infants and children going without.
Yep.
People falling through the cracks, the whole world basically falling apart. But they're going to go after these other issues because they have a solution for it already. Whether it's a good solution or not, they think it'll make them look good to put that solution forward. So they keep getting a paycheck. But there's no way in the world that they're going to touch those other real problems because they might fail.
Well, that's a scary reality that they don't touch none of these other problems. You know, this whole thing is, you know, if you look out there on the alternative media, some people call a lot of these folks fearmongers, but they said that they've been saying this stuff was coming down like this. Paul Harvey said back in 1965, he explained it before it ever even got close. He explained it that this is how you take over a country. And we all know about the divide and conquer tactics when they go over to another nation and send agitators in to destabilize it and get everybody fighting amongst each other and then rush in as their savior. You know, hey, look, we're coming in to rescue the poor people that's getting massacred,
right.
You know.
Right, so what makes them think that they wouldn't do it here in our country?
Exactly. That's my
point. To our own country, because to them, Dallas is another country. It ain't where they're from. It's another country.
Yep.
You know?
And these folks, you know, that are falling for this propaganda, whatever, fear tactics. I mean, I'm so sick of the word terrorist. I can't even stand it when I hear it. Every time I hear the word terrorist, I see cartoons running through my head because...
I see politicians every time somebody mentions terrorists.
Well, yeah, politician cartoons of politicians would be better explanation because it's a joke, man. It is a joke, but it ain't a joke at the same time because you're terrorizing people just telling them there's a terrorist behind every doggone bush. Now, if there really is somebody on our soil and our federal government can't address it, if our militaries, civil defense line, first line of defense or whatever, even the modern militias, if they can't handle it, then we've got really serious troubles. If these folks are able to come over here, build up little camps, and then strategically go out and attack individuals, and the FBI or the CIA or any of the alphabet soups can't do nothing about it, then number one, they're not good at their job. But I know the reality of this deal right here. I've seen the inside of the FBI, and I know for a fact that when they want to get something done, they get it done. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. If they want something to occur, it's going to happen. And they have a plan for a backup plan for a backup plan for a backup plan. You may think you're going to be slick and outwit these guys, but you're not. No matter how hard you try, because they've already thought of every doggone scenario under the sun. So if there's really somebody on our soil, they're either not doing their job or they're letting it go on for some sort of political reasoning. You know, what's that whole problem action solution thing? I know these guys have equipment that would blow your mind. It just the things that I've actually seen with my own physical eyes that I know exist, that tracking technologies and so on and so forth, you know, forward-looking infrared radar. You can't even outrun them in the dark anymore. These guys pop a drone or a helicopter up there in the air, they can tell you where the guy's hiding in the weeds down there. And ain't nobody on foot going to be able to hide from that infrared radar. It's just, it's crazy. That if they're sitting there telling you that there's terrorists hiding in the bush and they can't find them with the technologies available, even the fire department, for Pete's sake, got the same technology. They can bring this camera out and they can tell you exactly where the hottest spot in that house is.
And they can see body shapes in the wall and whatnot. Find the people they need to find. If the fire is hotter than the people, they just look for the cold spot shaped like a person.
Yeah. There's companies out there that actually use this technology to come out there and tell you where you need to insulate your house, where your windows need to be changed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you tell me that the federal government of the United States of America doesn't have access to technology where they could find terrorists hiding in the bush out here? No, it's just...
They want to start regulating guns. It won't be long before they'll start trying to regulate technology like that, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about unbalancing things so that they have a standing militia of their own that's more powerful than the people that they're basically governing over. Brexit thing after the UK basically decided they weren't going to be a part of the European Union anymore, the European Union went in and stepped in and took control of all the remaining countries' standing armies. So they couldn't have control of them anymore. That they had to come in and control them.
Yep. And
they don't even elect those people either.
And Obama says he wants his own private army, more or less, a civilian army. You remember him saying that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Let's fatten the government up some more at the expense of the people, because that's who it's always at the expense of.
Yeah, and the people fall for it, hook, line, and sinker.
Man, you know this is coming back to, though. Second Amendment.
Oh yeah, it's always.
Oh, you don't need a gun to protect you. You're just wanting a gun to go out there and be a terrorist, or you know you're going to fight against the government. Well, that's what the Second Amendment was about, was that there would be enough guns in the hands of the people enough power as a, and, you know, it's not about, if you notice, it doesn't say you have the right to have a gun. It says you have the right to bear arms.
Let me ask you
a
question.
Well, arms include tanks, that includes nuclear missiles, that includes everything. That means you have the right to have enough technology on your side to do enough damage to those in power that they will have to think twice about what they do to you. They can't just run over you.
Yeah.
They have to do what you want them to do. That means they have to do enough, they have to have enough of you in their favor to have the mob rule.
I want to throw a question out there for all those people that that are into gun control. I want to throw a question out there for you. Would you disarm your own military? Would you disarm your own police? There's some folks that would say yes to that, but I'm saying overall, every single police officer, they now have a stick. Every single military guy, they now have a stick. Regardless of what the other militaries of the world got, would you disarm your last line of defense, right? And then I'm going to take that even a step farther. Now that you've disarmed all them and you don't have the security of knowing that other militaries aren't just going to walk in the doggone door, now how do you feel about gun control? Now do you understand why it is that if the government gets out of control, the American people, who are the militia, are the last line of defense. They are the standing army of this country. And this is why gun control is so important to the elite of the world, is because if you got a massive standing army, and they're just as well equipped as the actual regular army, then you're less likely to come in there and try to attack them. Because it ain't going to be just the guy in uniform that's going to be shooting at you. It's going to be the redneck behind the bush, the gangbanger down the street, or whoever. And so, America didn't last this long for any reason less than the fact that the, what's the word I'm looking for, where, you know, people are less likely to, the deterrent of power. Because you're not just going to fight with those guys I talked about. You're going to be fighting with the farmers. You're going to be fighting with the city boy. You're going to be fighting with everybody. If a military comes rolling through here with tanks, if we ain't got grenades, we got other things. We got bobcats and bulldozers and cranes. And you think that the American people can't be creative when necessary? Yeah, you're going to have one heck of a mess. So best just to back off and let us kill ourselves with a second civil war. That's the whole idea. Now, as everybody's starting to see the big picture, when you destabilize a nation, you have that nation destroy itself from within, and then you come in as a, quote, UN troop or a savior or whatever. That's what's going on, Thomas.
Hmm.
And folks can't see it.
Mm-mm.
You turn the black man against the white, the Christian against the Muslim, the Buddhist against the Hindu, and so on down the line. You have all these people with all different points of views arguing and bickering back and forth. And the red against the blue, the doggone Trumps against the Hillarys. When in reality, y'all be playing like a doggone banjo, man. Ain't no joke. There should be some Benny Hill music going on right now in America on really seriously loud speakers, because that's exactly what's happening. The Jerry Springers of the world are playing you like a banjo.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't get our act together and we don't do it fast, we're going to see a race war in here that's going to lead into a second civil war. Because once all this, the first domino tips, if they really shot the cops, then that's really, that's the first domino. And if the first domino's tipped, right now it's damage control and brace for impact, because it's coming. I'm telling you what, if you think you beat the cops because you shot several of them, if you think you're going to get the cops to back down, no, you're just going to justify every action that they make from this point on. And when it comes down to all and all out martial law, where they're literally executing citizens right in the doggone streets because they violated curfew, and it looks like some scene out of old Nazi Germany from way back when or worse.
Coming to kick your door in and take go through your house looking for, see if you're hoarding food or see if you're hoarding guns or something like that. Whatever excuse they need to basically come in so they can go, oh, look, man, there's a donut.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, he's hoarding donuts. Let's get in here and take care of that problem. There ain't no donuts here now.
And those same
wait, don't eat the last one. You gotta have some evidence.
Yep. Those same authority figures who are coming around to do all that and supposedly keeping the peace will not be there to back you when the marauding gangsters come around to try to get some of what you've got because they can't just run to the store anymore.
Yep. No, hey, wait a minute. We gotta come and do this thing over here and we gotta go do that thing over there. We'll be there in 30 minutes.
Yep. And you're on your own. But now, Mr. Gun Control Advocate, you remember back when you was telling everybody we need to get rid of all the guns? We need to get rid of our Second Amendment and even our First Amendment so we don't
What I'm waiting for is the people who are the loudmouths about the gun control. When somebody loses a family member that they believe they could have stopped that if they just still had a gun.
Yep.
They go after that person and try to sue that person, or worse yet, they just go ahead and, this is the thing, man. All the gun laws in the world, all the laws in the world do not stop ownership, okay? They tried their darndest, and they're still trying their darndest to stop people from owning, producing, and selling, and buying methamphetamines, yet it's one of the worst epidemics in the world.
Yep.
And it all started with all the other drugs that they tried to control. They tried to create drug laws and ran a war on drugs, and it just made things worse. So if they start outlawing guns, it's just going to make the whole situation worse. Instead of being able to go to a gun store and buying a handgun and the things that you're basically legally allowed to buy out in the open, you're going to have people going behind closed doors and buying bazookas and missiles, and you don't even know what all is going to start cropping up through the woodworks, and it'll be every single person now.
Prime example,
that will be doing it because you've just made them all outlaws.
Yep, prime example of what you just explained was back during the Prohibition when they banned alcohol. They started a freaking war on American soil because of alcohol. There were people hiding up underneath buildings drinking booze, you know.
Drinking booze that they didn't know whether it would kill them or not.
Yeah.
There's no regulation whatsoever because they basically just said no. Nobody's allowed to have it.
So, they figured out that there's too many people dying over the situation, and they re-legalized alcohol.
But and there was no money to be made.
Yeah.
They were just spending money. They weren't making anything back.
But then the whole war on drugs thing got involved. But now, you just took what would have normally been, pretty inexpensive. Nobody would be paying anybody for it because you could grow it in your own yard. Now they took it to be a really valuable commodity because now it was illegal. You had to buy it from somebody because not everybody could grow it and get by with it. So you just opened a black market of something that you didn't want sold on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And basically made a lot of criminals out of a lot of hippies.
By making something dangerous for you to provide as a service, you drive the price up.
Yep.
And then you drive the need to concentrate and make it easier to hide.
Not to mention, that's where all the designer drugs came from, because now that people couldn't have easy access to marijuana, now there's synthetic marijuanas out there, there's all kinds of methamphetamines and different drugs has been...
They make LSD illegal, so yeah. They make ecstasy. Well, you didn't say ecstasy was illegal, so we'll sell this legally until you make a law about that.
Yeah.
They eventually had to basically make a law that outlawed all hallucinogens.
Well, see?
Didn't matter what chemical it was, if it created a hallucinogenic effect, it made it illegal. And, I mean, how long before they start making blanket laws like that to cover things that you have to have for life?
Well, they,
We don't trust people to basically... We had one person who ate a bad apple, right? Had a worm in it. So, we gotta make it illegal for people to grow their own food. You gotta have a license to grow food, and somebody has to, you have to pay somebody to come by and inspect your growing conditions to make sure you're not growing something bad, and then come by every once a week and inspect all the food that you're shipping out, or that you could be shipping out as you grow the stuff. We don't care if you're shipping it out from your backyard to your dinner table. We got to come by and inspect it. So you got to pass to inspect it.
Yep.
Now it's more expensive for you to go ahead and grow some food in your backyard and eat it than it is just to go to Walmart and buy it.
Yep.
From China, from Mexico, from India, wherever they're shipping it in from.
The folks out there who actually sell that synthetic weed, they actually sell some of it over the counter, and they put on the labeling, not for human consumption. And so with that said, they can sell it as an incense or a fragrance or something like that without having to, fall underneath the laws of the drugs. But in reality, there's people out there not just smoking it, but they're eating the stuff too. And they're going crazy in the process. So, stepping back...
I know some people who have done a lot of that stuff, and that's propaganda right there. What's the most negative side effect of that stuff is that it makes you sick. It'll give you headaches and make you feel like garbage.
Well, I knew this individual, and I ain't mentioning no names, but this hasn't been that long ago, who was going out buying this stuff, and he was literally eating it. And it would give him such an adverse reaction that he was doing and saying in public things that he wouldn't normally do. And it's amazing that he didn't end up in jail or dead or, at the very least beat up by people out there, because the things that he was doing was...
That sounds like he's basically already got that stuff inside of him. And he thinks that it's basically giving him a free pass. Kind of like people are like acting creepy towards girls at these conventions and whatnot, and that their excuse is, "Oh, I'm just awkward around girls." Like, don't use that as an excuse. If you really are awkward around girls and have trouble, controlling what you say and how you say, or your facial expressions or whatever while you're saying things, then shut your mouth.
No.
That's what you do. You know, it's that old adage, it's better to be silent and be thoughtful than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
This guy was, like, literally going insane. He was doing things that at one point you'd swear up and down he was literally possessed by demons or something. And he, not only that, he's sitting there vomiting all over himself. But my point in bringing that up is that you take a step back and you look back at the whole marijuana deal like there, and marijuana is like something that grows naturally. All this other stuff, Lord knows what's inside some of these different deals that are sprayed on there,
mm-hmm.
And so now you got a worse problem before, but because you illegalized one thing, somebody else figured out a way around it to get, still be able to get high. I mean, people huffing paint. Are you going to outlaw paint? You know paint can't be good for your lungs or your brain. But
yep.
People are literally doing that.
I actually know somebody that literally, they would tell him, "Look, man, I can get you any drug you want. I got cocaine in here. Do not huff that paint." And they'd still go sneak and huff the paint.
Yeah.
And leave the other stuff sitting behind. Gold paint. It was always gold paint.
Well, and it's a sad state of affairs, but, when you talk about leadership, you gotta have some sort of responsibility at the top down, because if you didn't spend the time to think about, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. If we ban this product right here, what's going to actually occur? Think
mm-hmm.
about it, And I don't think they thought hard enough about it, because just like Prohibition, they passed Prohibition before they actually really considered the ramifications that if people want it, they're going to get it one way or another. There's going to be a black market, and there could very well be some people dying over it, because there's going to be people fighting over territories of who, like Al Capone.
There's also not going to be anybody checking to make sure there's nothing wrong with what they're selling.
Yeah. At least if it's legal, you can have some sort of regulations to ensure that people aren't getting poisoned en masse by people whose using dirty equipment to make liquor or something like that.
Right, like, you know, safe regulation, not, you know, oh, you're growing it in your yard, well, we got to come and inspect it before you can smoke it. No, if it's in my yard and I'm the one that's smoking it, the one who's growing it is smoking it, the one who's growing it is eating it, then, you know, stay out of the business.
Yeah.
If they're going to sell it, on the other hand, you know, maybe we'll start looking at some regulation if there's a potential that there could be a problem, but it doesn't have to be so all-inclusive that you got to stop by every week and check.
I agree.
You know, you check, your regulation at that point should be you check if somebody complains.
But this conversation on the whole drug issue falls all the way back to what's going on out there as far as the Black Lives Matter group. You know, first off, Black Lives Matter is just that's a racial right out of the doggone gate. That just reeks of racism. I'm sorry, it does, because...
Well, the question is, why do you even have to say that?
Yeah, all lives matter.
Who thinks who is actually running around thinking that they don't matter?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, and if they think...
Well, the other side of the coin is just as racist, too, or just as derogatory, too, of saying all lives matter, because they're trying to pull the fact that there's an issue there out of it.
Well,
if somebody really wanted to correct what they've got as far as the phrase, it's one simple little word, three little letters, Black Lives Matter 2. That means that basically they're just as important as everybody else is. Not putting them above anybody else, not putting them under anybody else, but on the same level. If you got to say it, that would be the way to say it.
I agree.
You know?
But
nobody has stepped forward with that. Instead, they've just tried to basically shut the whole thing down, or they've tried to make it explode.
Everything always got to fall back to the racist. Why is he such a bad guy, you know? I'm not completely white. I got French Canadian / Cherokee in me, and who knows what else. But I'm not a solid race. I'm not the superior race or whatever. I'm just a guy who's got light skin and just happened to, you know, tan real well during the summertime. Hey, look.
Stuck your finger in a light socket.
Oh. Yeah. I'm just saying. Whenever they say stuff like that, you know, about I hate Whitey or something like that, you know, how am I supposed to not take that offensive? And whenever I got white people talking about white privilege, I find offense with that too, because I know a whole lot of both the different sections of the society from all different backgrounds and races, and I see them all suffering. I don't see it just being a case of targeted because of their race or their religious beliefs or anything like that. You look all the way through the entire history of America, and there's been a suffering in just about every range, except for the upper echelon, who are pretty much cushioned away from it. They're insulated away from it. They don't live on the streets next to the guy who's desperate and going to steal out of the back of your pickup truck your tools that you need. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And you see a big ruckus whenever something like that shifts to where they have to deal with that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they're concerned about it.
That's it.
Where was your concern whenever you didn't have to deal with that?
Until it lands in their backyard, they're not going to do anything about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible. That's what the police are for. But that same police, they're willing, like the President Obama. Now, I don't even like calling him president. It disgusts me what he's been doing to this nation. But
or call any of them president.
Yeah, but he's coming out saying, talking more or less like the police are in the wrong, and the, we got this race problem out here in America and stuff, you know? He ought to be so ashamed of himself. I don't think he has any shame. You know, if I was him, I'd be so ashamed of opening my mouth and saying that. It's just ridiculous. Because the same police officers that they demonize are the same ones that they will call when they're in need. All right? And these folks out there that saying F the police or whatever, they're always F'ing the police until somebody bigger and badder than them's on them, and then they call the same police out there to try to fight their battle for them. If you think F the police, you fight your own battles. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't call the police. You get out there and you take care of yourself. But that ain't the way it happens, because a lot of these folks that's out here hollering, they're cowards at heart, because whenever it comes down to it, somebody meaner than them comes along, that's the first person they're going to call. I'm getting on the phone, I'm calling the cops. Right? But then, what? Wait a second, weren't you earlier just talking about how you hate cops and F the police, but now you're going to call them on me because I'm going to kick your butt? You see the hypocrisy in that? And I don't understand why more of the average Joe out there just can't get it, man. You're setting yourself up for a major fall. You're giving away everything you're saying that you want to protect. And if you think that slavery died down after the slave trade, no, it just added more slaves, all kinds of slaves, in every race. You think you ain't being a slave? You gotta go to work, you gotta pay your taxes, and if you don't pay your taxes, there's some sort of retribution that's gonna come down on your head and yep. your family.
Yep, it went from they just got rid of one form of slavery but kept the others.
Yeah.
And by getting rid of one form of slavery, which, you know, they didn't just free black slaves when that happened. There were plenty of white slaves that were released too when that happened.
Yeah, there were people of servitude is what they called them, ain't it?
No, they had flat out slaves. They used to sell Irish slaves, and they'd treat them like crap because they didn't have to go fight through the jungle to get them, so they'd basically sell them off cheaper, and if you got them cheaper, then made them more disposable.
Well, isn't that sickening that the majority of the people in school haven't been taught about that particular deal? You know, like,
every race out there has had slavery leveraged against them at some point or another, and they most likely have history of having have ownership of slaves at some point in their history too.
Yep, and it's not taught in the school books. It's not taught in there. It's just one specific minority that's being taught. What about the Japanese Americans who were rounded up for fear that they might be sympathizers when we got in war? Back in World War II with Japan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were Americans. We put Americans in jail, man. That's it. You can't say it any nicer than
yep,
that.
Because of where they came from.
Yeah.
Because we were at war with where they came from, culturally.
And some
or
of them,
biologically.
Some of them, I'd venture to say majority of them were born here.
Well, and that's the thing, is you wonder why, after you do something like that, that suddenly the amount of people that identify with where they came from more than where they're at now goes up. And identifying with where they're at now went down. You know, that there are actually more people that were more patriotic and American before that situation with the Japanese, among the Japanese, and all of a sudden it goes down. And now they're identifying with the other side. It's like, well, you created that problem by demonizing them, treating them like garbage.
Let me tell you something, folks.
They did it all for the protection of those people, because, you know, we're at war with Japan, so we don't want the other people who aren't Japanese attacking them and hurting them, but then the people who are basically running the concentration camps treat them like crap.
Let me tell
treat
you.
Treat them all like spies, and like they're, you know, they're the devil, you know?
Yep. Let me tell you something, folks. I had the honor to actually stand in Japan and meet those people over there. I had the honor to get over there back in 1984. I was in Yokosuka, Japan, Yokohama, Japan, Tokyo, Japan, all over Japan. I got to meet a lot of people over there, and those people are just like you. They are good-hearted people that just want to live their lives and raise their families. They're not over there hating on America. They're not over there hating on Russia or China or anything like that. Everybody out there is going to have their opinionated view. If you ask them, different people in different nations, hey, what do you think of the Chinese? Well, I can't stand them crazy people or whatever, you know. It happens. It happens over here. People use terminology to label people, you know. And that terminology then eventually comes around to being a racist terminology or whatever. But the majority, the maximum of all the 270 million people that are in the United States aren't cop-hating racists. You know? And they're not out to start a doggone war with somebody out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little minority of individuals in here that are causing all the doggone problems in the government and in the civilian world as well. Because there are people in the civilian world who are making it harder on you to be able to live your life in freedom. And you move into a homeowners association and try to put something on your lawn that is not approved and watch, and you'll see what it'll be like to live under a tyrannical government.
Move to Florida into a homeowners association, try to put a pink flamingo out there in the yard.
Yep. You'll find out what it'd be like to live in a communist nation or a tyrannical government.
Gestapo.
Yeah, and that's in the civilian world. But they're doing it to each other, man. You call your cops on your neighbor because your neighbor's grass is too high.
Hey, the people that are willing to do that to you, that are interested in doing that to you, telling you what to do and not to do, if they had an opportunity to run for that presidential seat, I guarantee you they'd do it in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
And they do it in a heartbeat.
And you give the people like that enough rope and they'll hang themselves because, well, they're going to get in there, they'll pass all the laws that they think they want, and then when they get out there and suddenly they decide they want a pink flamingo in their front yard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now it's a problem. It wasn't a problem back in the day because you didn't like it. But now that you do like it, now that you want an American flag in front of your house in your homeowners association, you can't have it. That's the difference. You gave it up, man. You sold it out. Thomas Jefferson said the price for freedom is eternal vigilance, which means you got to pay attention. And as the signing of the Declaration was being done, Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution, and they said, well, what have you given us? And the guy said, well, a republic, if you can keep it. That's the deal. Can you keep it? Well, I submit to you all out there that the average Joe out there is not paying enough attention to keep it. You know, your vigilance is basically lacking, if you understand what I'm trying to say here.
Our republic has been lost a long time ago. The fact that when you go out there to vote for a particular candidate, a national candidate, and then the people that you're basically just voting for somebody to throw a vote for you, and the fact that they can change and go against what the populace said they wanted is proof that we don't have a republic, a representative republic anymore. It doesn't represent us at all.
Let me clarify then. The illusion of the republic that you're supposed to have. We are not a democracy. We have never, ever, ever been a democracy. The United States of America is a representative republic. And when your leaders don't even know that, and very few of the civilian understand that we are a republic, not a democracy, then we got serious problems. But the illusion of our republic being secure, you're losing it. And pretty soon it ain't even going to be an illusion anymore. You're not going to have it. A republic? What? I never heard of no republic. What's this Constitution thing? You see what I mean? They're rewriting it right in front of you. And you're letting them do it.
This is the other thing, too, man. Not only are the people not being held accountable for the promises that they make when they go into office, but they're not, the people who are casting the vote in on our behalf are not following up on the result of that vote. If they're going to cast a vote for us, then they need to be held responsible for what that person does. And they need to be out there having to be on that person's butt 24/7 to make sure they do what they said they were going to do. And if they don't, then they need to be pulled right back out of there. And don't give them any kind of pension. Sorry. You didn't do what you were supposed to do when you're in presidency. You don't get any pension afterwards for the rest of your life. You go back to just being regular old Joe again.
Well, that's what it needs to be.
Oh, wait, you did something we didn't want you to do. You're going to jail.
There ought to be some sort of rating scale on the quality of the job. If the American people say that this guy only did a 50-50 job, then he should only get 50-50 of the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I agree with the jail deal. He broke the law during the time while he was under oath to serve and protect and uphold the United States Constitution, then he needs to pay the price just like the average Joe. If you go to any federal government agency and you apply for a job and you sign the paper saying that you're going to uphold your oath of office, and then you personally violate that oath of office, you think that you're not going to go to jail? I guarantee you, you're going to go to jail. You're going to pay fines and go to jail at the same time. That's the way it works. And you've got two separate laws. You got the laws that apply to the citizen, and you got the laws that apply to the people in power who are the establishment, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to stop. But it ain't going to stop as long as people are out there saying, you know, F the police, we got to shoot the cops. All you're going to do is give them more power, because the people who are sitting back, who are just kind of like bystanders, is watching this whole mess and they ain't taking sides with anybody, just kind of sitting on a fence and checking it out. All they see is some crazies out there shooting cops. They don't agree with that, because once all the cops are gone, they're not safe anymore. And they're going to trade their safety for the whole gun control deal, and they're going to hand their guns over, and they're going to want you to hand them over, and they're going to support any effort to get them out of your hands.
Well, there was a guy that actually, he had an AR-15 that was there for that demonstration.
Yep.
That at his brother's request, when the shooting started, turned his gun over so that it could be documented that he was not involved in that. He was not shooting.
Yeah.
Because they were afraid that they would get blamed for it, because they found out that they had a gun there.
And that's a shame.
I guarantee you, not only did they try to accuse him of being a part of it and had his face plastered all over the media, but he's never going to get that gun back.
Oh,
he'll have to pay 10 times what he could just go, you know, buy another one for to get it back.
Yep. That's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
People don't, they just don't seem to get it, though, you know? Let me explain something to you. This people need to pay really close attention to. There's a in Missouri, they finally passed a concealed carry deal where you can actually conceal and carry. But what you don't understand is that if there ever comes an incident when you are forced to defend your life and your family's life, you have to expect some things are going to happen. The moment you call 911 and you tell them, hey, I just had to shoot this guy, he was burglarizing my house and my wife and my family was in danger. When the police come out to your house, you're going to be placed in handcuffs, you're going to be put under arrest, and you are going to have your firearm seized from you until they get you all sorted out and you have your day in court to find out whether or not you are liable or whatever. That's going to happen. It ain't just like you get to shoot somebody and that's it. You come, the cop shows up and said, you say, well, look, he's trying to break into my house, and the cop writes it down in his report. No, you're going to go to jail that night, and you're going to be sitting in jail until court, until they decide whether or not you get a bail hearing or whatever so you can get bailed out. You're going to be sitting in jail. That's the way it works. And so these folks out there that are carrying their firearms, they know this. The ones that really actually pay attention to the laws, they know this. And they're not about to try to shoot anybody for any reason. They don't want to go to jail. They don't want to have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars trying to defend themselves from a justifiable self-defense shooting. These guys know this. And the ones that are out there just haphazardly carrying firearms just because they heard they could aren't fully aware of the ramifications of what happens the moment they pull that trigger. You see what I'm saying? It's not a cakewalk to defend yourself. You're gonna have to understand that when things go down, if this country goes to heck in a handbasket worse than it already has, once that domino tips and people are out there shooting cops, They're going to start shooting you, too. That's it. And we're standing in the second Civil War. You guys got any thoughts on it? I hear Muddy. Are you there, Muddy?
I see a lot of, I see a lot of the deals where you need to defend yourself. A guy comes to you, they bust you. You know, it used to be that if they were going to do military tactics or anything like that to break into your home or do something, but basically you have to have some kind of drug operation going on there, manufacturing or something deep, you know. Now it's just they just bust in for a warrant or whatever. I mean, and just a man at 3 o'clock in the morning, the door gets bashed down, they come in yelling, screaming in their masks. The man is going to protect his home. But he needs to be able to have protection. They'll shoot him for it, stuff like that. A lot of times they're hitting even the wrong address. But here's the thing I was mainly looking at. You had a protest going on down there. So someone decides to pop off and shoot a few cops to see if they can get the gun rally to turn into something. It sounds like something. It sounds to me like another false flag, where they want the people in the gun in the protest to start shooting the cops, and then maybe they could take our weapons by saying no, it's not safe. Even a peaceful protest turned into this. One of them shot the cops and started it. No. See, if that's what I see.
Well, it may.
I think it was on purpose by the government to see what they could do to get our guns again.
Well,
no, I don't say they're shooting them from up on an upper floor. How did they get that robot to roll up those stairs then to bomb that person?
Don't know. But what I'm trying to say, yeah, the guy shot from up. He wasn't in the protest on the ground and all that stuff.
It was all premeditated, whoever did it, too.
He was trying to cause a bigger problem. Who was paying him, I don't know. I think it's another government false flag.
Well, it may very well be.
It caused trouble to start something and escalate something bigger. Every time, every so many months, they pull something where they say, well, guns are not safe.
But listen,
I'm glad that they held his gun up in the air. He said, I'm not part of this. This is not what we were here for, blah, 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 blah.
Muddy, listen.
It didn't turn into a war between the protesters and the police.
Muddy, listen. I don't know whether it's a false flag on one side or somebody really did do what was done, but the key to this whole deal is when something goes down like this, if people don't remain calm and get the facts straight before it's all over, either way could be a bad scenario. Okay, the government has proven itself to be tyrannical, right? Well, suddenly, you know, people jump to conclusions and now we're at war with the government. And on the civilian side is the cops are out there trying to kill American people, you know, African Americans or whatever. Now the people are focused in on we got to kill all the cops. You see where this whole thing...
Yeah, one man tried to start, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, we're on a teeter-totter regardless of whether or not it was a civilian who did it or a government official who did it, part of the executive branch. All right, so what we the people need to do is to have our reactions not let this slide, but at the same time be responsible so we're not going out there and jumping the gun, so to speak, pardon the pun. We ain't jumping the gun and starting off with somebody. I feel like somebody in this world has already planned for us. You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I believe that the American people and the people of the world, for that matter, are being played like a banjo. I believe that we're literally being set up for the fall. They want the guns out of the American people's hands. You know? And it may not be the government per se or people in the government per se that wants the guns out of people's hands. It may be the wealthy financiers behind the scenes. Like the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve isn't even a federal, it's not even a government deal. It just says Federal Reserve on it, but it's owned by private bankers, and we supposedly owe them trillions and trillions of dollars in interest for loans of our own money. You see what I'm talking about? So how could you have a national debt of money owed to somebody who is basically playing Monopoly and raising and lowering the interest rate at their will, you know, supposedly to save the economy? What economy? That's my question. What economy are they talking about? The same economy that gives the bankers bailouts and allows the citizen to lose their home anyway? They could have took, instead of giving all them banker bailouts to the banks, they could have went around and gave everybody who needed to pay for their house enough to pay for their house and save their house. What better way to make the economy better, because now people can afford to go out and purchase things. But no, it didn't go to the people, it went to the banks. And the banks still got the property, and they still got to foreclose on it and sell it, resell it again.
Yep.
Didn't
and
got
the
to
automotive
get...
industry it went to.
Yeah.
And all them doggone shysters sitting there over interesting their loans, student loan guaranteed stuff and stuff like that. It went for the people who were doing things to the people as well.
Yeah, and the next stage in that is not a banker bailout, but a banker bail-in, and a bail-in is where they take your money out of your account.
They bailed me out, and I wouldn't have said anything against it.
Yeah, see? They didn't bail you out. They bailed the bank out, and the bank, they made out like bandits. They got the properties back that were being foreclosed on. They got to resell it. You know, the American people got screwed.
We got the cash for clunkers. The only cars that you could buy was these big, expensive suckers. That
actually
used cash anyway, even though they were hybrid.
And if you didn't have good credit, that basically the credit industry is connected with the banking industry, and so if your credit wasn't good enough, you wasn't getting a new car anyway.
Well, what was cash for clunkers about? It was minimizing that CO2, that thing they want to tax you and cows for farting and burping and actually breathing. It's renting the air. Anything that doesn't belong to them, they want to tax you on. Same as the water. They want to own the water. The deal is to clean up the CO2 by taking these old clunkers off the road. Well, then you'd have to sit there and take a lot of new cars off the road, because they actually have all these sensors. And if one sensor is out of balance, it's making worse noxious tread in the air than one of these other clunkers. But all you have to do is set the timing, points and condenser, and keep your plugs clean. And if they had a catalytic converter inside there, it'd beat most of these other ones with all the sensors and throwing the wrong mixture into the injectors, through your throttle body, carb, or injectors. It just unbalances everything.
Yeah, that's, I think Tom's having a little issues with Skype. He's got to reboot Skype, and since he called in, we might lose you there for a second, buddy. Yep, there it is. So anyway, folks, what I'm trying to point out to everybody out there is that we got to get serious about paying attention and getting educated and getting other people out there educated as well. Because what we've got going on here in the United States is we are literally standing on the edge of the abyss, and at any given point in time, this could really explode on us. if this is really occurring out there, what they say is going on, if cops are really being shot, then the first domino has tipped, and it's only a matter of time before things get so far out of hand that there is no turning back. Now, there are people out there saying that the supposed sitting president right now, Obama or Barry Davis Satoru, whatever he's going to call himself next week or whatever, he is wanting to stay in an extra term. He's actually been on video saying that, you know, if I could run a third term, I'd win or whatever. Maybe he's not planning on leaving. Maybe that's the whole scenario. Maybe they don't want him to leave because he's been helping them with their agenda throughout this entire process.
Hold on a second.
However you look at it, if he's planning on staying in there in office to the point where he's going to become the dictator of America, you got to better understand right now that that's not going to fly with the American people by any stretch of the imagination. So where you at there, Muddy?
Yeah, well, the point I was trying to get to before Skype decided to drop out, basically, it created more carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide, hauling those cars and melting them down, taking them apart and doing everything that they had to do with it than the car would have done in the rest of its lifetime. And the newer cars would be polluting more. Because the sensors are so expensive, people can't afford to change them when they go bad, and there's so many of them, they're bound to be one to go bad.
Yep.
Upset. Cash for clunkers didn't help anybody with anything.
Well, there was a whole lot of government programs like that were just, the average Joe would say it's ridiculous what's going on. But the fact of the matter is, if people aren't paying attention, that's what you get. We're supposed to have a representative republic, and if you're not paying attention to what your representatives are doing, if you're not being the squeakiest wheel in the machine, and you're not getting greased, that's all there is to it, man. So I don't know what happened, but I'm having an issue with the whole Skype. My doggone self, man. The deal that usually shows your guys' picture on it just up and disappeared.
Yeah, it did that just a few minutes before just the sound went from whatever the last noise was that came through. It just kept repeating it.
So maybe the old alphabet soups out there are getting not too
annoyed.
Yeah, they're not pleased with us talking the way that we're talking, because you can't have the civilians out there talking common sense, because somebody actually might listen.
Well, they're not kicking any doors in with the guns drawn yet, so...
Well, that's because they know better. Right now, this broadcast is going out to enough individuals, my door gets kicked in, and they start hearing all the shooting going on in the background, you know. And, hey, there you go. That just helps out the conspiracy world even more.
Well, until they come out and say, oh, yeah, no, we kicked in the door and started shooting because we were being shot at, and they had drugs. They had... Child pornography. They had, they were running slaves, slave trade, human trafficking or something. You know, they'll make an excuse.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If they tried to play that,
evidence.
If they tried to play that with me, I've been drug tested more than probably just about 80% of all the average Joes out there in this world for jobs and whatever. I get drug tested all the doggone time.
Well, you know what the next excuse will be then? Oh, it was the people next door. We just got the wrong address.
Oh, yeah, it was a mistaken identity.
That happened in Hampton, Virginia. When I was driving a taxi, every time I heard that they did it on one of them, like Golden Sands Hotel, which is not an operation, or any of these little places where all that stuff happens, 9 times out of 10, they had the wrong room anyway. And... to top that off, the reason why they had the wrong room, they were trying to second guess, because some of these guys would rent a room out in one name, and then another guy would rent a room out in another name, and they'd swap rooms.
We've got issues, man. We've got seriously serious issues in this world that we live in, because Not only do we have serious environmental concerns going on, but we got wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famine and pestilence, robbing, raping, looting, and pillaging. You know, there's a book that spoke about that, but I'm not going to get into that. All I'm saying is this, that right now, we don't need no second civil war. You know, we don't need it. We don't need no World War III. We don't want it. We don't need it. No.
We don't need a war between our law officials and the citizens.
That's right. I mean, I'm telling you what, folks, if you think that you're bad enough to take down the police, you might be right, all right? But once you do, that means the federal government steps in. It goes up, stepped up. It goes from local to state to federal. And before it's all over with, you got military standing on your shores. And when the people see the military come out and they get frustrated, all the pockets of militia's going to come out. And the next thing you know, the militias are fighting with the military. We're in a second civil war. People will choose sides. And then the next thing you know, hey, the UN's got to step in to help us out, to save the people that's being terrorized by the homegrown terrorists. Does that sound familiar to anybody?
Yep, and that's pretty much what they. At that point, yeah, you got. Your government don't have the control no more. It's just.
That's right. And then the international bankers, they win. They got exactly what they wanted. They got to hide their high crimes and misdemeanors. They got their money. They got their offshore bank accounts. They got their mansions with their food and their bunkers. Everything's well. You go sit in your underneath your mansion down in your bunker and watch all this play out via satellite or whatever, real time, and eat your nachos or whatever. And, you know, the rest of the world's out there dying of starvation and maybe possibly cannibalizing each other just trying to survive. You think this world couldn't get any sicker than it already is? Well, if that's what you think, then you ain't paying attention. Because
I'll say, if you don't think this world can get any worse than it already is, then you haven't been to a third world country. You haven't been paying attention to what's going on there.
Yep, down in Mexico where drug lords are chopping people's heads off as if it's, you know, some sort of, you know, whatever. And look, any individual, I don't care for what reason, that thinks that it's all right to chop somebody's head off, there ain't no justification for that. That's beyond morbid. And you got people over there supposedly having a jihad underneath the guise of Muslim, whatever, and they're out there, chopping the heads off of the infidel and the Christian. This is what we're being told. Whether it's fact or fiction, it's what we're being told. And you put that kind of visual in people's mindset, and now you got that fear playing, and then you're going to turn around and tell them you don't want them to own a gun? Are you freaking kidding me? That makes me want to go out and buy more guns so that I can defend myself, because I ain't fixing to stand by idly and watching some terrorist chop my family's head off. And I'm not a violent person.
You know what it sounds like?
What's it sound like?
Sounds like a gold rush, man, where somebody's trying to sell a bunch of... They planted a couple of nuggets of gold so they can sell a whole bunch of shovels.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. If things get out of hand, let's look at the total thing here. How many people out there with a gun are doing crazy, stupid things? Like, you only hear, oh, so many months, and then bam, somebody tries to do something stupid like this. How many more guns, what percentage of guns are out there doing the gun, you know, people with the guns doing the stupid things like that?
This ties in exactly what you're trying to... All right, I'm hanging up.
Rest of the percentage.
I'm hanging up. This is getting too heated. Bye.
Bye.
Wow.
The rest of the people.
Peace and love, everybody. That's what it's all about. Peace and love. See, it's even affecting the people that want to be on the Knights of the Round Table. It's even affecting the Knights. You know, we can't have this stuff. We can't have the infighting there. We can't have people, you know, getting angry at each other over stuff that really has no bearing on what it is we're talking about. You know, we're in serious jeopardy, folks. We are in serious, serious jeopardy. And I ain't just talking about America in general. I'm talking about the world in general. Both Thomas and Muddy are really awesome people. All right, we just heard them live have a heated discussion and get frustrated. And this is how it works. You got people down there that are perceiving that all the cops are racist, and you know they're out there protesting. And then somebody else says, "Well, it's not enough. It's not enough to stand out here with a picket sign. We need to start killing cops." You see what I'm trying to point out to you people? I'm trying to point out that we're on the edge. And the only ones that even have, remotely even have the power to do anything about it is the majority of all the people of this world in every nation. If you want to resolve the problems that we got, if you want to avoid the wars and the rumors of wars and the plagues and the famines and the pestilence, you got to start believing in yourself as a person first. You got to start believing that you do have a voice and you do have power. And until you rise up together in peace, and I'm not talking about getting out there and marching with signs and saying peace and love and all that kind of stuff. Until you get out there and you figure out the whole entirety of what's actually going on and you're protesting the right people, it's not the government, it's not the media, it's not the people that are different than you. It's the folks behind there that's pulling the strings. It's the folks that are actually dishing the money out and paying everybody to do the crazy stuff that they're doing. They're taking over your countries. They're taking over your governments. They're taking away your representation. And they're using their propaganda machine via the alternative media, via the mainstream media. And it gets to the point where you don't even know where not to be, who to believe and what not to believe. I don't even know which shootings are real and which aren't. I don't even know where all these disasters are going. If I look out inside my yard, I ain't got no war back there. It doesn't look like doomsday to me. I ain't see no terrorists under my bush. But I always have to live in fear, the fear of my nation falling because of stupidity, because of people not using common sense, because of racism and hate. I'm sorry to all the people who have been oppressed in this nation. I'm sorry to all the people who have been oppressed in other nations at the hands of this nation. There are wars that should never even occurred. There are what they so-called deemed as police actions that should have never even occurred. They weren't constitutional. They weren't by our law. But the American people had been deceived into believing there's a terrorist out there and we got to get him before he gets us, regardless of the consequence. We've been lied to about energy. We've been lied to about climate change, and we've been lied to about so much. And when you can watch politicians break the law left and right as if it's no big deal, and they get a pass, whereas if it was you standing in their shoes, you'd be in jail. That's a fact. You don't get to skip out on your taxes because the government's going to come get you if you do. You don't get to commit felonies. You don't get to commit treason. You don't get high crimes and misdemeanors. You don't get presidential pardons. You get jail. You get consequence. And your family gets to suffer. For those of you individuals out there that think that Americans got it made, you're really off base on this one. Because the average Joe is a two-family working unit. The children are being sent to school as a place for them to be babysat. And the children are being indoctrinated into believing history that didn't even exist. The children are being taught science, bogus science, They're not even being taught math. There's children that have graduated from high school who now carry a high school diploma that can't even read. That now they have to pass laws that says that a possible employer has to accommodate for people who are illiterate and can't read. They'll have to read the application to them and help them fill it out because they can't write either. This is what we're living in. People are living in massive amount of debt. People are self-medicated. They're on drugs. They're on alcohol. They're on prescriptions. It's no picnic. And there are people in this world so much worse off than the American citizen. There are people that don't have access to fresh water or food. We're literally living like the walking poor over here, the working poor. And there's people in this world that we want to help. And when I say we, the people, the average Joe, I'm not talking about the United States government or corporations or anything like that. I'm talking about we, the people. The guy that would pull over and help somebody when their cars broke down. The guy that would run over and help a stranger out of a ditch no matter what he looked like. The gal that takes her time out to go try to feed some homeless people or to take some clothes to a shelter. And I've seen these people in every nation that I've ever had the honor to step foot on. I know that the majority of the people in this world are good-hearted. I know that when we set our mind to it, when there's a disaster or a problem, we have a resolution where we all come together and we put our political and our racial views aside to do the right thing. I'm sorry that my friend Thomas and Muddy had this dispute right there. There's a lot of tension. A lot of things need to be said. A lot of communications that need to be worked out. I love them both, man. I know both of them's heart. They're both awesome. But this is what happens to good people out here. This is what smashes networks. This is the divide and conquer that we've all talked about when things get heated and people, the line get drawn and then people cross those lines and end up fighting with one another. We've got to make cooler heads prevail. We've got to make really seriously wise choices right now. The alternative is we don't. And the alternative is we lose our nations. We lose our friends and we lose our families. And if there ever was societies prior to us and they fell like Rome, and we're repeating it. We're going to repeat it. Once we do this, it's a done deal. People of the world, you're being played. Whether it's a false flag, whether it's propaganda, or whether it's a real deal, you're being played. There's a Jerry Springer behind the scene. Some people call him George Soros. Some people call him Barack Hussein Obama or Barry Davis Satoru, whatever his name is. The divide and conquer is real. Hello! Are you there, Thomas?
Yeah, you don't read your messages. So I just said I'm muting my mic. Mike, I didn't know if he was still in here or not, so I was just going to mute my mic and just listen.
Yeah, all right. We'll try to bring him back if you can. We got...
I can't. I took him off my contact list.
Oh, man.
He just gets too angry all the time. Every time we turn around, it's anger, and it's anger directed at us.
Not live, man. Not live. Look, this...
You can bring him back in. If he's on your list, just bring him back in.
We can't do this. We can't fight amongst each other. We can't...
No, that's why I removed him. I'm not going to fight with him. You know?
Anyway, my point in this whole deal is that we have... We fall for it, man. We the people, we fall for this. All the time. We get in fighting. We have disputes. The tensions get high. We're arguing over something that we're all trying to fix, and we can't allow it to tear us apart. This is how it happens. This is exactly how it was designed to happen. The whole destabilization of nations, you know, and it happens with good people. It happens with the people you love. It happens. You can't talk to your family members about certain subjects, whether political or religious or anything like that. You can't talk to them, because if you try to talk to your family and they have a different view because they watch CNN or MSNBC or ABC or whatever, or maybe they don't even watch any of them. Maybe they just hear the alternative media version of it. But when it all comes down to it, everybody's only got the information that they perceive from everything that none of us know whether we're right or what we're wrong. But what we all can agree on is that the path that we are on as a nation and as friends and as people who's out trying to do something good about it, somebody out there is the Jerry Springer that is sitting there getting the fight started so that they can make money off of us. Like somebody mentioned earlier about the whole guns issue. Maybe they fake these episodes and tell you they want gun control so that they can sell more guns. Just like the whole Y2K. You realize how much camping equipment and food and stuff was sold during the whole year 2000 debacle? Under pretenses that all the computers were going to crash? We can't let this tear us apart. I've seen this too many times. I've seen the frustration going on. We got to slow down. We got to breathe, man. That's as simple as that. If we don't slow down and we don't breathe and we don't choose our words wisely, we don't do the same thing that they're doing out there in Orlando or Dallas, Texas, or wherever the heck it's going on, supposedly, according to the mainstream media. I'm not going out shooting no cops. I don't know anybody who would go out and shoot any cops. But our very existence could very well ride on the perception of the public out there. You see what I'm saying? Does any of this make any sense, or am I talking out the side of my neck?
No, you're making sense. My point a little while ago to finish up is I think that the protest and the shooting only showed, and the outcome of it only showed, that gun owners have more brains and common sense than they're given, and more credit. I think it was more of a victory. For the protesters. Because, I mean, every time you hear a false flag, you see something, and just like Sandy Hook's Elementary. Sandy Hook's Elementary, and they showed, if you look at the county records, you find out that there were no homicides for the period that happened. See where they want to take your guns and they try to pull things. I think this is another one.
Well, you may
somebody up to the roof to shoot some cops and see if they can get a war going.
You may very well be right.
Praise God for that.
The JFK assassination. I mean, there's so many questions over that. You know, the whole conspiracy world in general. But if we are not consciously analyzing all the information that is coming into us, we could literally jump the gun or believe something that isn't really occurring, or maybe is occurring, but it's the wrong person that's behind the scenes doing it. You see what I'm saying? We're at a dangerous point in time that if we don't pay attention to what's actually going on, if we don't get the facts, and we don't get them straight the first time, we're going to fall right into the hands. We're going to be out there trying to defend our family during a second civil war here in the United States. And I'm telling you people, you got to hear me, and you got to hear me, and you got to tell your neighbors, nobody, I don't care how bad you think you are or how many guns you think you've got stored, nobody can win a second civil war. If you go up against the police and start shooting them down in the streets, they're going to shoot back. And when it gets to the point where they start running out of police and things get too bad and people start getting scared more than they already are, they're going to resort to the next level, which is the state police and then the federal government and then the military. And before too long, it has all escalated to the extent that you've got tanks running through your street. You got blue helmets from foreign nations, people running through your street. If you think it can't happen, look over these nations that have been destabilized. Who do you see over there right now? What do you see? And you got a jockeying match, a doggone chess game or a checker game or whatever you want to call it going on between all the major superpowers of this world. They're all putting their chess pieces in place. They're all gearing up for World War III because they don't know what the heck is going to happen next, because it's all pretty nuts. Am I wrong?
History repeats itself. That's why I don't want to see them take the guns. You know,
1776.
Yep.
Yes.
People don't understand how terrifying it was to be in the Revolutionary War, not knowing if your brother would turn you in to the British government because they were a loyalist.
Yeah.
If you have a civil war, that's the thing that people aren't getting. If there were some magic app that came out tomorrow, and every single person out there who had a cell phone that had that app on it was able to basically clock in and say yay or nay, they would go to war against the government because they're sick and tired of the way they've been misrepresenting them. And you got even like a 98% on that. Remember, this is only people who are carrying phones. And yes, there are quite a few people out there carrying them. It's also only the people that downloaded the app and used the app. So unless you can tally the numbers and say, okay, there's X number of millions of people that are, you know, registered as citizens or visiting or whatever that are of age that they could be actually be participating in this. We have that many people saying, yes, we need to do this. There's no way that you could know who was going to be on your side, who's going to be on their side.
That's right.
And it'd be nothing but a terror fest to the whole thing.
My mom wants to vote for Hillary Clinton.
You know who the smart person would be in that situation, right?
Yeah.
The person who takes off and gets out in the middle of nowhere to get away from all the craziness.
Yep. My mom,
you see that coming, you better have the RV loaded up and out of town 15 minutes before it even starts.
My mom believes the Democrat line, and I more along the lines of conservatism, but I'm even skeptical of the Republican Party because I've seen the Republican Party shenanigans with the guys like Ron Paul and any other person that sounded like they were the real deal. You know, anybody who's the real deal who isn't part of the establishment is not getting elected in this two-party system we find ourselves at the misfortune of having to deal with.
Maybe you just need to stop calling it what they want you to call it and call it what it is, the one-party system.
Yeah, but what you're pointing out there is the fact that I don't know, my brother might turn me in or something like that, you know? My brother, during peacetime, might be the best guy in the world, but how do I know? During wartime, my neighbor might turn me in or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if you guys really want to get a good visual of what this world could potentially look like, go watch the series Jericho. I'm begging you, please. before you go out there and start trying to shoot cops and trying to destabilize your own government, I'm begging you, please go out and watch that series. Because when you see that series, if you sit down and you take the time to watch that entire series, you're going to see a part of America that you never want to see. You're going to see average Joes doing things that they never obviously wouldn't have done in a civilized world. And you're going to see what this world would look like under that kind of system. Believe me, it's not something that you want. Go over there and ask them citizens over there in Iraq, Afghanistan, or Iran, or any of the Syria, or any of that. Go over there and ask them how they feel about war.
Ask them how they felt about being destabilized, and not only being destabilized by an outside force, but that outside force having absolutely no idea what they were going to do with that situation after it was destabilized.
Yeah.
So that's what the real problem was. They didn't have anything in plan to sort it out. So they ended up with ISIS. They ended up with the Taliban.
Yeah, imagine that. Imagine living over there when you got a group that calls themselves ISIS, and they're running around because they don't like your political or your religious views, or they think that you're what is that word they use? I can't even remember the word for it now. Infidel. They think you're an infidel, and so according to their belief, then the radical version, they got to chop your head off. So imagine that. You're watching your family get their heads chopped off, trying to hold true to their own beliefs. Right, imagine living in that.
Their religion.
Yeah. Imagine living in that. Imagine living in that anywhere in the world. And for you Americans out there that think it couldn't happen to you, you ain't paid attention. They didn't think it could happen to them until it did. But if it is truly happening in this world, it is not discriminant about where it goes.
Nope.
It's like a disease, you know. When you get a disease and it spreads like the plague, they don't call it the plague for nothing, because you don't know where it's going to go next. A guy in one country gets a disease, jumps on a plane, diseases everybody in that plane, then gets onto the soil, diseases everybody in the airport who's all going in different directions, and now you've got a mass pandemic. And that's the same thing with crazy ideology that people believe that they got to hurt one another in order to get their political or religious views across. It happens. It is happening. It's happening right now. If this story's true, and the whole Black Lives Matter out there talking about got to kill Whitey, you got to kill the cops. Who raised that child to believe that all white people are bad? You know, I ain't seen no slaves today. I ain't seen, as far as the physical chains and the beatings and the stuff that you read about in the textbooks, I don't see nobody chained up. I don't see nobody trying to have an underground railroad and save people and send them to a side where they allow people to be free. The slavery...
You got to have a side to send them to.
Yeah.
There ain't no freedom. Nobody's free. Well, it seems like the politicians are the only ones that are free. They get to do whatever they want, and they can just go ahead and walk scot-free and not be prosecuted for violating any of the laws that they basically enforce everyone else on.
Yeah.
Enforce on everyone else.
There's two sets of laws. One for you and one for them.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to protest them politicians, and you do it wisely, you make sure that you start off in the court systems, and you make sure that every single vote is counted by multiple sources before anybody sits in that seat of power. Because we already know how the digital realm works, that people can hack into computers. We already know that the voting machines can, you push the button for one guy and the other guy gets the numbers. We already know how people stuff ballot boxes. We already know that there's a crooked element to the whole voting scene. You need to have people sitting there literally physically watching the folks who are physically counting the votes to ensure that they're all counted.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, work your way up to start changing the laws that are protecting these criminals that are getting by with everything from money laundering to drug running and gun running, and starting wars that are unconstitutional. Somebody go back and read the law of what it says according to the Constitution, the powers that the president has as far as war powers, where after a certain period of time he has to go before Congress and declare war, or else he has to pull the troops out and explain why he had them there to begin with. That was supposed to be the separation of powers. The judicial, the legislative, and the executive branch of government, that one side couldn't get more power than the other. That they were checks and balances. The judicial branch of government isn't there to write the laws. They're only there to interpret the laws. But we see them legislating from the bench. The executive branch of government, when the police are out there enforcing the laws, they should have a little bit of knowledge of what the law is before they ever even try to enforce it. But they're protected under intent. As long as they intended to do something and they had reasonable belief that they were doing it right, then they're protected. And then you get mad at them when they break the law. The police aren't attorneys. They don't know the law. And it's been proven many, many times. If you've got an honest court, they'll throw the case out if the police didn't abide by the law. The judicial branch of government is there to interpret the law. The legislative branch of government is there to write the law. The executive branch of government is there to enforce the law. It's as plain and simple as that. And if the people enforcing the law don't even know the law, then you got a problem. So it's up to you, the people, to make sure that they remain educated and we don't have these problems. When
here's a small addition to that. The sheriff is the one that actually knows the law and is supposed to be upholding your constitutional rights, because that's what his oath is. So if you get pulled over by the police and they treat you wrong, you can call the sheriff, and the sheriff can stop it and send them away.
Yep.
So the main thing when you're looking out here, what's going to happen when the crap hits the fan, you better hope that your sheriff's department isn't corrupt and going against the Constitution.
Well, here's most folks don't understand that. When somebody takes an oath here, and as far as the any branch of government, and any from the local jurisdictions all the way up to the highest, according to the Constitution, when they take that oath to serve and protect, even the mere act of speaking out against guns is in violation of the Second Amendment and the law. You guys understand that? They get First Amendment, but while they're there to protect that law, while they're there to serve and protect that Constitution, they don't have the right to sit there and say, well, we need to take everybody's guns.
Any law or so-called law written against something in the Constitution is basically an act of treason.
Yep. Without a constitutional convention where they actually go in and change the Constitution in itself, then everything is in violation of the law that violates that oath. And if you're there, you say to serve and protect the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and that means you you don't have the luxury of basically being able to choose which laws to enforce or not. You're supposed to, like the executive branch of government, they don't have the luxury of choosing which laws they have to enforce. They have to enforce the law straight across. You see what I'm saying? And if you're not, then you're not honoring your oath. If you're out there trying to do something counterproductive to your oath, then you're not standing in your oath as far as the law goes. That's the way it is, man. And the average Joe isn't paying enough attention to understand that. They can't just search your stuff at this point in time, but at some point in time, they will be able to search your stuff anytime they want without your permission. Your papers, please. You think it can't be done? You better go back and look at history. It has been done. For too long now, you got a tattoo or an ID chip stuck in your body and biometric scans and whatever. You're not even your own body is sacred anymore. It's disgusting. What do you guys think?
I think the fact that they even take your DNA without your permission, that I can see, I mean, I can see what they want it for, but then I'm pretty sure there's other things that they want it for that I'm not really too happy with.
Well, that's the thing about, see, you just in your own sentence basically justified something that was violation of personal privacy, you know. I can understand why they wouldn't want guns in crazy people's hands, but I also understand that by saying that, that means I can justify them passing certain laws that says that they can't do that. Just as I can understand why they'd want DNA in case somebody got raped. But the key word is in case. Right? Are you going to violate somebody's privacy for something that may happen? You see what I mean? Now,
yeah, let's take, there's a series of rapes going on, so they want to put cameras in the stalls of the women's bathroom now, just to make sure that rape doesn't happen, or they can catch the guy. See, it's a service, but it's not.
Well,
it's a big violation. It would be a big violation of your privacy.
We're walking a really fine line between what we perceive to be freedom as to total all and all out tyranny, because once you give up that whole Fourth Amendment, the right against illegal searches and seizures, then that means that anything goes, man. You know, you're going to the airport right now, you got to get frisked up. You don't have a choice. If you want to ride that airplane, you have to get felt up at the airport. They have to see if you got any weapons. All right? Regardless of your history, unless you have a specific pass where a lot of the elite do, where they just go right past the security and right on in because they're known, you know. What happens if that day that guy who has that special pass who can bypass security gets mad at his own government, decides to carry a bomb on a plane? He just got walked right through. You didn't have a bomb, and you had a baby bottle in a diaper bag. Alright? But you're getting frisked down. He's walking through like he has executive privilege. That whole diplomatic immunity thing. A foreign diplomat can come over here and commit a crime. Oh, I got diplomatic immunity. No, to heck with all that. Ain't no diplomatic immunity. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. If I gotta obey this law, then my government has to obey this law. That's the way it should be played out. As long as these people are out there acting the fools and protesting and thinking that they're gonna get something done in this world, they're not. They're not. I don't care. You get out there, protest all you want. You carry your paper sign with a wooden stick saying save the trees. And everybody, you know, you might even make it on TV because somebody done something crazy in the process. And craziness sells in this media world out here. But what did you accomplish? They're still cutting trees down. You see what I'm saying? People are still driving gasoline cars. And the only ones getting taxed are the citizens, man. Because everybody else gets tax breaks for bringing jobs to the community. Ain't that ridiculous?
Yes, it is.
Common sense, folks. You better get it. You better get it fast. You better get educated. You better pass the word around. Because we're living in some really rough, scary times. And I'm not saying there's a terrorist behind every bush, because I can tell you for a fact there ain't no terrorist on my property. I ain't seen none. But the moment I do, I'm going to defend my home with whatever I have to do. That's just that. Just like you should be able to defend your home. But even in that action, know this, that there's consequences for everything that you do. You're going to have to pay a price, even when you're in the right, and it's sad. It ain't like the old West. The sheriff comes around, well, I saw him draw on the other guy. So he was just defending himself, and that guy walks home. No, you're going to jail. They're going to confiscate your weapon that you may or may not ever see again. You're going to pay thousands and thousands of dollars in attorney fees just for trying to defend your castle and your family. That's the way it's going to work. So be prepared. Because when you start pushing police's buttons and you start shooting their fellow officers out there and they think that they could be next, you think trigger happy already? Brother, you ain't seen nothing yet.
The late 60s, early 70s, man, somebody wanted a protest. It didn't take nothing to start up a protest, just the reason, and people would join in, and it was peaceful. But nowadays, man, we've got the protest, Occupy Wall Street, and it's pretty much still the same thing, except those going against you, well, there's a lot of incidents where people trying to instigate something to make it look like the people that occupied Wall Street were going to go violent. And due to the wisdom and the common sense of those people that were protesting, it did not happen. I call that a great victory as well.
Well, see, here's the thing that you need to point out as well, Muddy, with that deal, because when there's two sets of protesters, one pro and one con on the deal, and they're sitting there shouting each other down, it's no longer a protest. It turns into a riot. Now people are offended because of the foul mouthing or violence erupts or whatever. You see what I mean?
It's not peaceful anymore.
Yeah, and then guess what? In comes the cops. In comes the news cameras. Hey, look, they're fighting. They're burning down their own community.
Yep.
We need gun control.
The occupied Wall Street were at the one thing. They understood that what was going on. Even some of them didn't understand, but they joined in because they understood that it was against them. They understood enough to know that it was against them. They protested. They tried being peaceful. And I remember one guy that came back from Nam just telling the cops, he said, this is your own people. He said, I just came back for fighting for these people. He said, what makes you think you need guns? What makes you think that they aren't hurting you? They aren't trying to do anything. And I mean, he chewed them out. He made the notoriety of that. But let's look at Woodstock. Woodstock, one of the biggest concerts ever. Didn't have all that problem. We tried a new Woodstock. It didn't work today.
It turned into Budstock.
It was totally different. Not the same mentality. The people were not one. As well. But out here, a lot of people are waking up, and we are becoming one. Some of them got some crazy, you know, maybe some tangents of the idea, and maybe a little off and everything, but people are waking up, and they're all trying to learn, and they're trying to understand what is against them, and they want to fight against it. But some people wanted to turn into a war, and those are the people that want your guns taken from you, so they can take over easily.
Yeah, because you can't get by with all your crimes when you got an armed population. You got to make sure that you nip that in the bud before you go pulling your fancy dance on them. Because I'll tell you what, American people, they're not going to tolerate people being beheaded in the street. You think ISIS thinks they're tough? Man, you come over here to America and you try that. All right, and find out exactly how weak Americans really are. You're gonna find out you're not gonna like the results. I guarantee you. And the elite know this stuff. You know, they'll fear the people that don't want to own guns. They'll fear the people that are afraid for their safety. But they're not gonna fear the militia or the gun-toting redneck or the gang member out there. They're not even remotely scared about this whole deal. A lot of them are opportunists. Hey, let it all go crazy because now whatever I want, I'm going to go out and take it. You're tangling with worse than a tiger, man. You're tangling with a dragon. Literally.
Well, you built the railroad. It cost money for the tracks. It cost money for the labor. It cost money for the railroad ties. But I don't know how much profit the railroad has made, but the guys that showed the picks and the shovels, I think they made more.
Well, yeah.
So the same thing with the guns. But
if you take all the
people's guns here, the value of any gun goes up big time, and it will be an illegal gun. Then what do you have?
For whatever their true agenda, for whatever their true purpose for doing whatever it is, whether it to be selling more survival supplies or political game to get whatever candidate. You have to look out there and you have to see that somebody is really seriously doing something that just isn't right when you got American people fighting against American people. You see what I'm saying?
Nope.
Forget the agenda right now. Look at the fact that the destabilization has begun. And if there was ever first shot fired that heard around the world as far as a second civil war, it's when people start shooting cops. You know, they're there to serve and protect. Now, if they're not doing their job, it's up to the people to hold those officers accountable and throw them in jail if necessary. But not going out shooting them. You know, you don't go out and shoot the congressman or the senator or the president. You go out there and you do it using the laws that were there to protect you. And the very, very last line of defense is that if the government comes up against you in a violent manner, such as they're not coming around shooting your family and taking them off their prisons, then you raise arms up against them and you bring them down. That's the way it goes. And somebody out there in this world wants to see that happen like now. So somebody out there is playing Jerry Springer behind the scenes, when in reality, some of the perceptions of what's actually going on in government may not actually be the case, if you understand what I'm trying to say here.
Either that or they're just trying to push for them to have an excuse to use an option against the general populace, the way they use that bomb, using that on that robot down there to disarm that guy. Except it won't be a bomb. When you're going up against an entire population, they're not going to want to scorch the earth with a nuclear bomb or something like that. So they'll say, oh, we've got a justification now. We better go ahead and use virus X.
Yeah.
It's the humane thing. It just mentally lobotomizes them. It doesn't actually kill them, you know? They get a fever that burns their brain out.
And there you go.
And now they feel justified because, you know, they didn't physically kill the people.
And people don't think it could happen. Oh, that's a conspiracy, man.
Yeah. Really? Well, they would have probably said the same thing, too, 2 weeks ago if you'd have said, oh, the cops are going to use a bomb on a robot arm and go blow up a room in a building to disarm this guy that's basically shooting at him.
Yeah.
There's no way they do that. Nah, that's a conspiracy, man. What are you talking about? Not anymore. It's happened.
That's warfare, man. That is warfare. The cops are using warfare. Now, doesn't that tell you something? They're using warfare. They're dressed like military. They are using warfare. And they're going to up the game, and they're going to keep up in the game. And the more cops that get shot, the more it's going to escalate. It will go right up the chain of command, all the way from the local to the state to the federal and to the military, and then on into foreign troops on this soil right here. And if you think it ain't possible, then you ain't read their own paperwork, because they say that is the way it's going to go down.
That's right. Right in the local area, within 45 miles. So, we don't, the police here in this town come from Fort Worth and Dallas or Stephenville, and the police officers and the sheriffs and all that stuff in other towns come from this town and other surrounding towns. They do that on purpose to make sure that nothing's done, you know, you can't take handouts and other deals, you know, given leeway in a certain way. But the thing is, after a shooting like this, everybody's skittish.
Yeah.
I remember getting robbed in the cab, you know, once, and, you know, just here. I haven't looked at you. I don't know what you look like. Hope the money does you good. You know, and they got out, you know, and then the adrenaline dropped, you left, and you're afraid to pick up. And it really hurt your pocket. So it always looked, even though you didn't get hit, you didn't get shot, but it causes a wall in your mind, and it's kind of a trauma. So, what's going to happen to the normal traffic stop and the people in this area now?
Yeah, everybody's going to have guns drawn on them.
They got to pull their guns. Say, all right, down, put face down. None of this, you still got your hands on the steering wheel and your seat belts on. They say, now see your license and registration. He's got his holster unhooked and his hand on his gun, and they're telling, that's okay. You know, he's got his hand on the gun, it's still holstered, he's talking, he's got a flashlight there, and, you know, and then they'll take your license, go back, fill up, and I'll tell you what you did wrong and all that stuff, sign this and go on. Well, you see the way they do in the bigger cities, they're out there, they don't even get out their car. They got the megaphone out there. Get out of the car. Stand up. Hands up in the air. All right, face down. Hands spread out.
It's called a felony stop, man.
Yeah, and come to find out, oh, you're trying to get to the hospital. Your wife is pregnant. Oh, that's nice. But it might take 5 minutes before you can tell that. And the lady's about ready to bust her, you know, push the puppy right then, you know?
Yeah.
So, yes.
That, you know,
it has an effect, and it's a bigger effect than most people think.
Well, and that's what I'm trying to sit here and shout out to the world, man. You better get these messages out to people. You better start making them realize that they're being played like a banjo. And these racist groups who've had hearts full of hate all these years, they're looking forward to a doggone race war. Do you think they want paybacks for something that they may or may not even have had happen to them? You know? Their perception is kill Whitey or kill the black man or whatever, you know? And you think it can't happen, it's happened. It has happened. If you go back and look at the real true history of the Civil War and you actually hear the stories of things that really occurred on both sides, both the Confederate side and the Union, these guys did terrible atrocities to people. They burnt down entire communities. They murdered people in the streets. And it's happened before. It'll happen again if you allow it to do so. Doggone it, folks. You know, the school book pretty much doesn't even remotely touch the nastiness of what really occurred during those times. And the bodies and the devastations left behind on there, even to this day. You know, you can't erase that. It's as simple as that.
What happens, and all that kind of stuff. What about the second ripple of what happens after the cops start treating you like a criminal, get out of the car, hands up in the air, face down on the ground, spread them all the way. You know, once they've got stuff getting treated like that, they feel like they ought to feel like they're in martial law. So yeah, they're going to hang on to their guns even more. And who knows if somebody's going to shoot a cop as soon as the cop pulls them over, and that'll escalate it. Another ripple in the pond.
And then when everybody it
goes out a long ways.
And when everybody finally gets to the point where police and military on every street corner is the norm, and no civilians have any rights, you just do your work or whatever, and then you decide for some reason that you don't think this thing's right and decide to exercise rights you used to have, you're going to have your own fellow citizens turning you in to the Gestapo.
Yep.
That sounds
harsh. They're going to have to hire a whole lot of people if they want to have that come to play, because I can tell you right now, there ain't enough cops, there ain't enough military to put on every street corner like that.
Well, that's the deal.
That's why they went around door to door and just kicked in doors like a sweep on the Jewish communities with the Nazis. Because they didn't have enough to just literally send somebody in with a gun in every single house and have them sit there and you know, stick around.
That's right, but the scary thing is the majority of the people stood idly by knowing that this was occurring, and there's a deal out there that says they came for the black man, you said nothing, they came for the Jewish man, you said nothing, it goes on down along the list, and when they finally came
for you, there was no one left to help you.
That's
because
right.
They'd already come and got them all, and you let them do it. What I was trying to say is you're not gonna see police on every street corner. What's gonna happen is you're gonna have you huddled in a room until it becomes your turn. You're gonna be huddled in a room while they're going through sweeps, basically busting in doors and shooting people and taking what they have.
Yep.
So they'll literally go through, take a bunch of stuff. They'll turn that into capital to pay some more people and to hire more people to help them go take more stuff.
Yeah, when it comes down to where there ain't no jobs out there because there ain't no companies anymore and the only job is to be an enforcer, then to feed your family, you might bend your morals and go work for the other side, even though you don't agree with what it is you have to do. There are people in war zones right now that are shooting people that don't believe in shooting people.
Mm-hmm.
Be amazed what people will do when they're starving to death or they're worried about their kids dying. You know, hey, I'll go burn in hell the rest of eternity just so my family can survive, you know. But you, what you don't understand is that you just condemned your family to the same misery.
Yep.
You know, what more can we say, folks? You know, this is common sense 101. If you ain't paying attention and these people are out there, if they're really out there shooting cops and it's not all a psyop or even a false flag or whatever, the people responsible for all this kind of mess that's going on out there are the Jerry Springers up there at the top sitting there hiding behind their private security. You know, somebody asked one of the politicians here recently, do you mind unarming your personal security? If you want us to be unarmed, are they going to put theirs down, that kind of stuff? It doesn't work like that. The government's still going to have guns. The government's still going to have security with guns. The military's still going to have guns. The police are still going to have guns. And when the police become the bad guy, and you ain't got nothing, you know your place and shut your face and get in line to get your little piece of bread. That's all there is to it. You want to live like that? What do you say, Thomas?
Bowl of gruel.
Yep.
Please, sir, may I have some more? What?
More?
Shoot this one. Shoot this one. This game, right?
That's the whole thing, man. You know, in a nutshell. I can't be the only one thinking like this. You know, I'm not one of these folks that goes around and believes every doggone thing that comes past me is conspiracy or doomsday prophecy, all that. But I'm not going to turn a blind eye to it, because when you tell somebody doomsday's coming tomorrow, you know the people are going to act a certain way, just like the whole Y2K incident. I wasn't even remotely concerned about the computers. I was more concerned about how the people would act, thinking the computers were going to go down. They were all at the gas station trying to stock up, and if the light so much as would have flickered that night, you could have sparked off one heck of a mess.
Don't put that thing on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I missed that one.
Anyway, look.
Pick it up. Him in the head.
If you guys and gals after listening in on this show want to support this show, it's as simple as pass these links around. Let people hear these podcasts, even the ones, you know, all of them. We're not trying to hide behind nothing. What we say, and we'll stand on what we say. And when we're wrong, we'll admit when we're wrong. But you got to get this information out to people and hopefully have them, you know, step back and look at the big picture before acting, you know, because once that bullet leaves that gun, there ain't nothing you can do. All the prayers in the world ain't going to turn that bullet back around. You done pulled the trigger. It's a done deal. All right? You done obligated yourself that somebody on the other end is going to pay for, and you're going to pay for as well for the rest of your life and maybe even beyond, depending on what you believe. I'm just saying, man. Put it on your social media networks. Tell everybody about the Knights of the Round Table. If you like what we're saying and you want to come over here and you want to jump on and talk to us and tell us where we're wrong, we can all agree to disagree in a peaceful manner. You know, we had a little disruption between a couple friends today, but I can understand why, because it's just a small example of what's actually occurring in our nation and in the nations of this world. But you see that we pulled it back together. We got our two friends back together again, and we're back at it, you know. And
what friends are about.
That's what family's about, guys. You know, that's what the Knights of the Round Table is about. And so, you know, with that said, folks, there's an open microphone here. Share it, you know. Get out here, put your information out there. Let's figure out a peaceful way to work all this stuff out. And it ain't going to be standing in front of the police and agitating them, telling them F the police and you know, all that kind of stuff. All those guys and gals on behind them badges, they're human too. You think they're not getting mad? You think they don't want to reach down and pull their trigger and shut you up? They don't. You know, but what happens the day that they do? What happens the day that all bets are off and if you open your mouth, you get put down? If you think it can't happen, go back in history and ask some of the folks that had it happen to them. It's as simple as that. Go take a walk around some of these war-torn nations out there. See what they think of freedom of speech. See what they think about the Second Amendment. It's up to you. Well, we're down to it, guys. Any last parting comments? Words of wisdom? Peace and love and all that? So what do you think, Thomas?
I think we got an ancient Chinese curse coming down on us. Yep. May we live in interesting times.
And how? Ain't going to get no much more interesting. Well, it's going to get definitely interesting, but I mean, you know, when you say things can't get any worse, that is probably one of the stupidest things you could possibly say, because I have seen just on a small scale how things have really seriously gotten much worse.
That's not the worst, because that's not challenge. The real challenge is what else could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever say what else could go wrong. The universe has a way of showing you, and it's got a much better imagination than you do.
Yeah, unlimited potentials, unlimited possibilities.
That's right.
I'd say no matter how bad you think it is right now, we're actually very, very lucky. There's people out there, there's only, you know, nations and places where finding water is a major thing.
No air conditioning?
Yeah, no air conditioning. Some
no
people,
cars? They walk everywhere carrying stuff on their heads?
Yeah, and they drink filthy
bicycles,
water.
Bicycles, yeah. Main transportation. You got no internet. You probably got no water coming to you. You got to go take it out of the stream and filter it and purify it yourself. And carrying it back. It's, you know, we're actually pretty lucky. We're doing well.
All right, guys, we got to go. And you're both right. We got, you know, there's people out there in this world. There's serious problems that we need to address. We need to take care of one another. There shouldn't be no starvation, shouldn't be no wars, but it starts at home, and we got to clean our own house before we're out trying to clean somebody else's house, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Pry that 2x4 out of your eye before you start trying to work on the splinter in your neighbor's eye.
Yep, exactly. So
the national version, yes.
With that said, y'all been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love. Stay tuned. The podcast will be up soon. And if you like this podcast, please pass it around to all your social media networks and tell everybody what we're doing. We're not asking you for money. We're just asking you for your voice. That's it. Say something, you know. Peace and love. Take care.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here.
Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. Hey, hey, King Shazir the Turtle. Always will King Shazir the Turtle and the Knights of the Round.